Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wilders and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprigg. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much. And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com/PT. Once again, that's reputationking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT.
I always say it's like a menu at a restaurant. When you sit down, you order what you want to eat and they bring it to you. So think about the objective options in that way. Order from Facebook what you want out of this particular campaign. Don't overthink it.
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic with Keith Krantz, Molly Pittman, and Ralph Burns.
Hello, and welcome back to episode number 36 of Perpetual Traffic. We are excited because we've got all three of us back together again today. We missed each other. It's been like almost, it's been like over a week since we've all talked. So excited to get Ralph and Molly and myself back on. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Happy to be back. You guys kicked ass last week.
Sweet, sweet. It was fun.
The gang is all here.
That was awesome. Kim made it easy for us because it was a great episode. So if you haven't listened to episode number 35 yet, make sure you do. It's a great episode with Kim Walsh Phillips. She went over some great case studies with local businesses in different types of markets and niches. And also she talked about how she got her book to bestseller status without even using paid traffic. Today, before we get into the episode, it looks like we just hit another milestone.
Yeah. 400,000 downloads.
Woohoo. Yeah, baby. All right. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. This is exciting. We love seeing those numbers because that means we know that there's like that many people out there that are liking this content and loving this content. And we love doing it. It's like the most fun thing we do each week. So we appreciate the reviews, lots of five-star reviews, and we are excited to keep doing this, and we're doing it for you. We love the feedback we get too. So keep bringing your feedback to whenever you see us anywhere in all of our communities. Speaking of communities, the episode that we're going to talk about today is actually, we're going to cover some of the questions that we've been getting recently. Just a couple days ago, I made a post in our private Facebook group for our members of Facebook Ads University. Just, hey, tell me your questions and we'll pick out some of the best questions that we get that we think will be the most helpful. And that, you know, some of the other people in the group, people would click like if they liked that question also. If they had the same question, they would click like on that commenter. So we saw a few questions there that look like a lot of other people wanted to have answered. So we're going to hit on those questions today. And just like we did a couple months ago. So every couple months we do this. So Molly posts the same questions inside DM Engage. Okay, just like we do. So if you do want to be a part of our community and get your questions answered, join Digital Marketer Engage, join Facebook Ads University. We're in there. Our team is in there. So we can, you know, communicate with you and we can get your questions answered here on the podcast. Cool. All righty then. You guys want to get right into it or what?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I think these are questions that we've seen a lot. So probably going to help a lot of people out there.
Joe Walsh asks a question. He said, what do the feedback scores actually mean? Okay, so first of all, I'll kind of hand this off to you guys too, and we'll go back and forth a little bit on these, but just to clear up that question, so the way Facebook labels, they have a couple different things. First, what they have is a thing called relevance score. So we're going to talk about relevance scores. We're also going to talk about feedback. So Facebook gives you a relevance score on each ad that you're running, which affects your impressions, your cost per click, your cost per conversion, all that stuff. They also give you feedback. They have different stats in your reporting where you can look at positive feedback and you can look at negative feedback, and that can affect your relevance score. So, Molly, I think you got the definition there of actually what relevance score is. Let's start there.
So the relevance scores and the feedback all work together. So that's kind of why we're explaining it together. But, you know, straight from the horse's mouth, Facebook says that a relevance score is calculated based on the positive and negative feedback we expect an ad to receive from its target audience. The more positive interactions we expect an ad to receive, the higher the ad's relevance score will be. Positive indicators vary depending on the ad's objective, but may include video views, conversions, etc. The more times we expect people to hide or report an ad, the lower its score will be. Ads receive a relevance score between 1 and 10, with 10 being the highest. The score is updated as people interact and provide feedback on the ad. So essentially, the relevance score is a score out of 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the lowest. And you can see that every ad that you run that gets over, I believe it's 1,000 impressions, is going to have this score. So there's a lot that goes into this score. How many people are clicking to hide the ad or marking your ad as spam? But also how many people are liking your ad and sharing your ad and having positive interactions, right? This relevance score is there to tell you how the audience is receiving the ad, how relevant your ad is to this particular group that you're targeting. And it's really important not just to tell you how relevant the ad is, but it actually really factors into the cost, what you're paying to run this ad. So the higher the relevance score, the less you're going to pay. Facebook's going to reward you for running a really good relevant ad that their users like. Because when it comes down to it, that's the first thing that Facebook really cares about. Do our end users like the ads that they're seeing, right? Because if the end users start to really dislike the ads, then they may leave the Facebook platform. And as marketers, we would have no one to run ads to if that happened, right? So it's a way to really keep everyone in check and to make sure that the ads that you're running are, you know, well received by the audience. So it has to do with the cost. And it really has to do with how your audience is receiving the ad, right? It can also affect your impressions. So if your relevance score gets really low, Facebook will actually not only make the ad much more expensive to run, but they can throttle your impressions and really show the ad to less people.
Our partner manager explained this to us on a call. This is about 2 or so months ago, Keith, and I think he showed a pretty good graphic on it. He wasn't exactly sure how it was all figured out, but in essence, there is what's called a Facebook bid that's behind the scenes on all this, and it is factored by your ad relevance score. So from a scientific perspective, the algorithm for Facebook is incredibly complex. I don't think anybody except, you know, a few PhDs in Palo Alto exactly understand how this whole thing works. But at the end of the day, the relevance score does factor in your Facebook bid, which is your sort of seat at the auction, so to speak. So let's not forget that Facebook advertising platform is an auction, unless you're actually choosing a different bidding method, which we don't recommend. But I don't think we even really tried it all that much. But nonetheless, it's an auction. So you do have other people competing for those spots in the newsfeed, the number one spot being the top of the newsfeed, which most people will see, and then the number two spot, which is lower down, number three spot, and so on and so forth. So relevance score factors into that, but also these other things like expected clicks, engagement, conversion rate, expected positive feedback, expected X outs. Like a lot of these other factors, we don't really exactly know what they are, But the bottom line is this, is that if you're running ads that have very low relevance scores, you're probably not getting a whole lot of impressions, and you're probably not hitting your key performance metrics for your campaign. So try to get those relevant scores up as much as possible. And maybe we can get into some tips and tricks on how to do that, which probably even directly relates to some of the other questions that we're going to answer here today.
In terms of the feedback, you get this score out of 10 as your relevance score. Well, you can also look and see if your positive feedback is high, medium, or low, and if your negative feedback is high, medium, or low. And I've seen on some of our ads where the positive feedback was high and the negative feedback was high, and we still had a 10 relevance score. So that shows you how important that positive feedback is, right? And that's the sharing and liking and the commenting on your ad. And, you know, this is just a guess, but I think the reason that that outweighs the negative feedback is just because of advertising in general, right? There are a lot of people that aren't marketers, that don't understand ads, that just hate all ads, right? And they'll just mark everything as spam. So I think that's Facebook's way of protecting us from people that just don't really get it, right? And just kind of hate all advertising. So if you're confused as to why you have high positive feedback and high negative feedback, but still a really high relevance score, my guess is that the positive feedback is really outweighing the negative feedback there. But definitely all three, relevance score, positive feedback, and negative feedback, are something you should absolutely keep an eye on when you're running traffic on Facebook, because it's Facebook's way of telling you, hey, you know, this audience does or does not like this ad and what you're saying. And that's important, because even if your ad is generating, you know, great results for you, maybe it's ROI positive and it's generating leads and sales for your business, but you have a really low relevance score and really high feedback, think about all of the people that are seeing your ad that you're repelling from your brand, right? So as many people that are converting, think about all the people that are seeing that ad and you're leaving a bad taste in their mouth. So it's definitely something to keep in mind, especially for the long-term health of your business.
And there is a way to go in and actually kind of look at your individual ads, or what's called a post ID, which we can get into probably in later episodes because it's a little bit more complicated. But inside Power Editor, you can click on Page Posts, which is along the horizontal navigator bar. And you click and you can actually find your posts that become ads. And you can click on one of those posts and actually see, you know, there was 51 likes, one person commented as angry, there's 15 comments, 36 shares, 12 hide posts. So I think you can get kind of a sense as to, you know, which posts are ones that are repelling your audience, which ones are attracting your audience. The bottom line is this, is that, I mean, you're on Facebook probably to get either leads or to get some sales. If you have a high relevance score, you're resonating with your audience, you're probably converting best. But we have seen lots of ads work that are in like the 5 and 6 range for relevance scores that convert really, really well, and going down to even 4 and 3. So it's not completely hurting you. I wouldn't say that should be the rule. But at the end of the day, you want to get a message match with your audience as best as you possibly can with your ad. Higher relevance score is a good indication of that happening.
And when it comes to relevance scores, it's all relative to your niche, to your target audience, and to your type of ad. We have people that are in passionate niches, in some kind of a hobbyist niche, or they're in health and fitness or personal growth or something like that. A lot of times those types of industries will typically get higher relevance scores, right? If you're in the dog niche or something like that. If you're targeting business owners and you're B2B, your relevance scores in general are going to be lower than those other types of niches across the board. So keep it relative to your business, and then look and start to see, how does one image compared to another one? How does one audience compare to another audience? How does a video ad compare to another, like a non-video ad? How are my relevant scores? How are my positive feedback and negative feedback? It's not really a score. It's more of a, I guess it kind of is. It's a low, medium, high. Mm-hmm. But how are those changing throughout my campaigns? Okay, you don't want to compare yourself to everybody else unless they're in the same niche as you.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, baby. Boom shakalaka. All right, so let's go to question number two, which actually can help you improve your relevance scores and improve your feedback. Question that Betty Rocker asked inside Facebook Ads University was, how often should you rotate your creatives? And do you have a good strategy for making this super easy to do? It's such a great question and so important. That is also going to help you with your relevance scores and getting more impressions and stuff like that. So who wants to take that one first?
By the way, these two first questions from two people with probably two of the best Facebook names, Joe Walsh and Betty Rocker. I mean, come on. You got to give it up for that.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think this question relates, you know, perfectly back to the discussion about relevance score. When you start to see your relevance score dip, or, you know, if it's low, then you know that you've either, you know, saturated an audience, you're targeting the wrong audience, right? They're just not interested in your message. Or maybe your ad creatives or copy are fatigued or are just off. So if you start to see that relevance score dip, that's a good indication that fatigue is happening. And again, you know, back to what Keith said, it's hard to give you specific numbers in terms of once you hit this relevance score, you should start to make changes because it's different in every market. But when you start to see that significant dip in a relevance score, also when you start to scale to the point where you're just really not getting the same results that you once were, you're scaling the budget and scaling your audiences and your lead cost or your cost per acquisition is just skyrocketing. That's a good time to look back and say, my creatives are probably tired. For us, from our testing, it's hard to give you a specific time period. I have some creatives that have been running for years, and I have some that tired after a few weeks. But when I start to see that dip in results and relevance score, then that's really how we gauge the need for new creatives.
What we'll do, although we're reconfiguring this a lot now based on the ad grid, but usually when we would start off, we would start off with anywhere between 3 to 5 different creatives or different ads inside an ad set, and then set 2 or maybe 3 live at once and let those run. And then if you're, let's say your cost per lead goal is $4, let's say, or $3 or whatever it happens to be. Out of those 3, maybe you've got 1 that's doing well and then the other 2 that are kind of borderline. We typically will let those run for at least 50 conversions or so, but eventually there's 1 that's going to be the runaway winner. But then I've got a couple more in reserve that I can kind of roll in after that first one, that first winner starts to kind of tire. And that seems to work really well. Now, this is a manual process. So you're kind of doing your work up front, just like when Molly talked about a few episodes back about the ad grid and how you really want to write your ad copy specifically towards your hooks and your audience. That concept right there is probably the best way to do 2 things, is to answer the question that we're talking about here, but secondly, answer our first question, which is how to get a higher relevance score, is to make sure if you are targeting hunters, you are speaking to a hunter based upon whatever that particular message for your ad is. So you're not speaking to your hunter interest group like you would talk to, you know, if you're selling an accountant, the same sort of product. Very different. I don't know too many products that sell to hunters and to accountants, but, you know, theoretically it could happen. But the point is that you've got to talk in your ad copy specifically towards that person and what their fears are, what their desires are, as well as an image that's relevant to them. So you not only get good relevant scores, but you're also going to have less tired creatives over time. You can, just like Molly said, we have some customers that we've been running the same ad creative. I hate to say it. It's going on 3 years now. I think I've used this example before. It still works. I can't believe it. Super high relevant scores. It just works. So that's lucky. I don't think that's going to be typically the case. You should have a couple of, you know, other ads in reserve, so you keep them fresh when your key performance metrics, whatever it is, cost per lead, cost per acquisition, maybe it's clicks to website to pixel people, start to kind of get out of range for you. And that's the best way to do it. Usually it happens in a couple of months in most cases, but it sort of depends on how much traffic you're running, how big your audience is, a lot of other factors.
First of all, episode 33 is what Ralph just referred to. It was the ad grid where Molly went over that very in-depth training on how you can really build for scale. Okay. So go back and listen to that. But that's a project that's going to take you some time to do, and it's going to be worth it. So that's number one. You can go back and listen to that, and that will help you build a system for this in a big way. However, for those people listening right now, so I know a lot of people, Ralph kind of definitely talked about a little bit of a rule of thumb. A lot of people want to know, like, just give me a number. Like, they want to know, is it every 4 weeks? Is it every 2 weeks? Is it every 5 days? I know that's something you're probably listening right now wondering, like, I just want to know, how many images should I have? How often should I rotate my images? So if you're listening right now and you're just wanting us to give you a hard and fast number, it's tough. We, as much as we want to do that, we can't, because we've seen so many different scenarios in so many different industries, and it all depends on really the size of your audiences and the size of your budget. So like Molly had said, as soon as you start to see your performance starting to decrease, right, starting to diminish, your cost per conversion going up, maybe your frequency is starting to get way up there, and that might be causing your cost per conversion to go up, it's probably a good time to switch out your creatives. And you're going to start to understand. I think this is why you need to get in there and start running ads, because you're going to start to know, like, it really depends. If you have a large international audience and you have a fairly small budget, you're not going to need to rotate your ads and your images as much as somebody else. If you're spending $1,000 a day and your audiences aren't that big, you're going to have to rotate your stuff a lot more. So that's really the big thing to understand. Look at your numbers and see where the trends are, and then that will really tell you what to do. All right, so let's move to another question. This wasn't one specific question. It was actually an entire thread inside Facebook Ads University that Ralph was referring to when we were talking about what to talk about today. And this is a common question, I think, across the board. People are always wondering, what campaign objective should I choose? And Ralph, I'm going to pass that to you, because you were kind of explaining some of the frustration with people in that thread, I think.
Well, I don't think it's frustration. I just think it's an older way of looking at things inside Facebook. I mean, I think it's maybe a little bit of frustration, but Facebook is smarter than we are. Let's just accept that. These guys are brilliant, and they know more about the Facebook algorithm than we'll ever know. So having said that, you know, you should be humble when you go into this thing and you start running ads. And if you want something out of the Facebook platform, choose the objective that matches that thing that you want. So don't try and trick the system. We've got millions and millions of ad spend testing this sort of stuff. And a couple of years ago, this would have been different. But I think today, if you want a website conversion, if you want somebody to give you a name and an email, use the website conversion objective. If you want somebody to visit your website, but not necessarily give you a name and an email or buy anything, you just want them to get to your website for branding, use either clicks to website or page post engagement, which is sort of the two of those are very, very similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
If you want people to watch your video, use the video view objective. If you want somebody to like your page and gain more fans, use the page likes objective. So really just match it. Don't try to be too smart. Don't try and outsmart the system. Actually, just let them do the work for you. And even if you don't have website conversions, you've never converted or collected a name or an email before, use website conversions to start off, and you're going to be much better in the end.
Yeah, Ralph, I always say it's like a menu at a restaurant, right? When you sit down, you order what you want to eat and they bring it to you.
Correct.
So think about the objective options, you know, in that way. Order from Facebook what you want out of this particular campaign. Don't overthink it.
Great points. And the one thing I want to touch on that is, for example, video views. Like Ralph said, if your goal is to get video views, if you're running a branding video and you do not have a call to action on that video, and it's purely to get views, to get somebody to watch that, then you would use video views. However, if your goal is to get them to click a link on your post or the button, the call to action on your video, and go register for a webinar or go buy a product, then you're going to want to use website conversions as an objective, as long as you can track conversions, obviously, with Facebook, okay? Even if you're driving traffic into a blog post and you've found that you're generating a ton of conversions off that blog and it's your main source of leads, you know, maybe try out using website conversions. You never know what's going to be the best objective there, because that's where it can get a little bit tricky. But the point is if you are tracking conversions and your overall objective is to get conversions, then use that as your objective, no matter what that initial kind of campaign. That's really the one thing to understand. It makes a big difference too. We've seen a lot of people, like, they'll go and they'll read something and then they'll run a video view ad and then they'll try to retarget all the video viewers into their funnel. And it ends up costing you so much more in the end, when you could just be more efficient and just use website conversions as the objective. And you're still going to get the video views. Your video cost per view might be a little bit higher, but your cost per lead or cost per customer is where the money's at, right? The ROI. So that's just the one thing to really truly try to understand. And don't be afraid to test different objectives if you're kind of like wondering, which one should I use?
Keep it simple, stupid.
Exactly.
Sorry, wasn't insulting you, Keith.
Smarty.
Smarty. Yeah, keep it simple, smarty.
That's a great saying. It's exactly true. It's just start with the one that you're trying to accomplish, and then if you want to get fancy later, get fancy later. All right, perfect. So let's wrap it up. We're running out of time for this episode. We will be doing this every few months, so bring your questions. We love answering them, and we will talk to you soon on the next episode. Have a great day.
Bam.
Kablam.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic with Keith Krantz, Molly Pittman, and Ralph Burns. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit digitalmarketer.com/podcast. Thank you for listening.
John Moran here. Q1 is closing and it probably didn't go as well as you'd hoped. I'm sure your agency is telling you that they crushed it, but in reality, it probably crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you, or if there's something wrong but you can't quite put your finger on what, go to tier11.com/apply. That's tier11.com/apply. And we'll get set up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business, not just metrics that make agencies look good.